Checo, have you pastored before?
Yes.
Ah, Babs, have you pastored before? Oh, God is good.
He's good.
Ah, Michael, what do you think? God is good, though. For me to be standing here and be preaching, I backslided. I backslided and went to chop juju. Can you imagine? Goodness. I backslided to go and chase after charm, juju, magic, power. What is all this? quick. And it's not any good thing, no power to fight. And for girls. Hey! Power so that you fight and everybody know you are. Then some vanishing cap and some vanishing shirt. I want to go to Akweti and go and steal diamond and gold and that was my agenda.
Spider-Man.
The mask. By the time they come, I've broken the vote and I've carried the money, Bank of Ghana, I'm gone. Somebody will say, do you know the charm and the juju they have used to protect the things? Say, don't worry, we went into it. By the grace of God, we came out. Hey, we would have remained in there. We would have been locked in there. So Isaiah 43 holds a very huge clue for me. Because I remember when I don't know why I'm starting the service this way. My cousin Ellie, who is now a deacon or something in Action, is Action number 2 or something, invited me to attend church after I was threatened I'll be killed. And for fear, why are you following Jesus? Me, I feared I'll die. So I ran back. I fear. In fact, the other fear, listen to me carefully, the other fear was this. Hey, good to see you. Everything good? My goodness. Good to see you. She has grown tall. In fact, when we stand, I'm sure you would have passed me by now. Wow. Wow. As if my eyes is opening, Bisano. So I was afraid I would die. And then number two, that my senior in juju, I had one of our members. He has to come back. He went to he said he has ever been the secretary for a malam. Can you imagine? He has been a malam's secretary.
Wow.
Eh? Malam's assistant. Malam have assistant. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And this head of our team said, Mark, do you know your life is like an egg, man? Do you know I can kill you? If not, I will destroy your manhood. I said, hey, for the fear. I feared that they will kill me, either physically or kill. The guy wants to take me out of the sea. If he's not taking me out, he wants to banish me. No enjoyment, no life. Can you imagine? So when we went to church, the pastor preached and he says, when you are in the waters, I will not allow the waters to overtake you. When you walk through the rivers, they will not overrun you. When you walk through the fires, when I heard that word, I became bold. The next day, I started fasting. The tongue talking that I lost many, 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 many months or a year plus or something, it came back. Then I kept listening to Michael Osebosu. And the Lord gave me a worship anointing. That is how I discovered myself as a musician. And Elijah bumped that song. And Elijah bumped. And Elijah bumped. Glory, glory, glory. I will never forget it. That I'm telling you. And that is how I return to the Lord. By the time I finished praying 1 week, the guy met me and said, you are too close to my heart. I can't kill you. He said, you are too close to my heart. I can't kill you. I said, Majo miagbo. I come out long ago. You don't even see my daylight. I'm gone. Share.
Yes.
See, I met a big man. He heads a big company. in the country. And he saw our old flyer, this hard flyer we have. And then I was telling him, I want to change some things on the flyer. And the way some of the things are written, I want to change it. He said, no, don't change anything. And he saw fear there. He said, do you know why I follow Jesus Christ? I said, no. He said, because I'm always afraid. That is why I followed him. Finish. Because he's the only person who have solved the problem of fear. And so he knows that he is secured. He actually gave me confidence. And I realized that I should keep it. So this one, there is no fear on it. We have to go back and put fear on it. When we do it again, we put fear. Because somebody is following after Jesus because he's afraid. But God have a bigger and a mighty plan for us. And this morning, the word of the Lord have come. Before I start teaching, the word of the Lord have come and it says, behold, I do a new thing. I'm not teaching it, but I just want to read it. It says, behold, I do a new thing. So let me read from Isaiah chapter 43, the verse 18 down. Isaiah 43. The verse 18 down. Do not remember the former things. God is speaking to somebody. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know? Shall you not know it? I will even make road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and the rivers and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. These people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Amen. This is a very good word, and I want to make sure that you don't lose the word that I've come to us this morning. So take this word as we journey through the service and as we journey through the week. Speak it over yourself, confess it, tell yourself, behold, see it. The word behold means see, behold. And you tell yourself, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing that house. I'm seeing that car. I'm seeing that situation resolved. I'm seeing it. Declare it. Behold, behold, I'm seeing it. My flesh, see it. My heart, see it. My mind, see it. Everything, my business, see it. Declare it over yourself as such. And God will reveal himself to you. Amen. All right, I want us to pray. I want us to pray. This morning I had an encounter. And the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 10, the verse 10, it says that Satan, the devil, the enemy, it says he does not come to give you any pleasure. He does not come to make you rejoice, but he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that I might destroy all the works of the enemy. I want you to just rise up for a moment. I want us to pray. I want us to pray before I start teaching. There are a lot of things that the enemy has stolen from our lives. The enemy has stolen a lot from people's lives. Even people's purpose, sometimes the enemy steals it. And it will make another person and make the person live another's purpose. Songs of Solomon, the Shulamite woman said, he said, do not look down upon me because I am dark. Don't look down on me because I'm a black man. Don't look down upon me because I don't have this. She said that, don't look down upon me because I am black. It says that my brothers made me to keep another's farm, but my own I did not keep. They made me keep somebody's vineyard, but my own I did not keep. It's Song of Solomon, it's there. It said, she is a black woman, dark skin. And they look down upon her. They talk down to her because she kept another's. The enemy have stolen ministries. The enemy have stolen even the word of God in our mouth to preach. The enemy have stolen. I ministered to a pastor. I'm not taking too much of your time, but I want us to pray and pray well. Even if it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes, we pray well. I ministered to a pastor. We were in a prayer time when he walked in down there. As he walked in, I started hearing the name pastor following him. So I stopped the prayer. I was the one leading. So I stopped the prayer. I said, I want to talk to you. Are you a pastor? He said, yes. I said, what is Olive? Olive. He said, that is the name of my church. And I said, I'm seeing a Bible. The Bible has been buried in the ground. And they said, you will never preach. I've been there with you, Puna Shaman. That place. I said, they will not allow you to preach. And so we have to pray. Some of you, the house that you don't have is because it has been stolen. Job chapter 20. He said he has swallowed down riches. He has taken houses which is not his own. It's been taken. The money. Didn't I share a testimony here where somebody was supposed to bless us with something, some money for something here? And then I had a vision and there were three faces. And the Lord spoke to me in the vision that these three faces are the family members, powers from the family of the person. And the person is far away in a different country. Far away, about 24 hours flight before you arrive there. Far away in a different country. And the Lord said that these faces are demons and principalities and witches and wizards and whatnot in the family. And the faces appeared, you know. Those people who do cartoon, they've done well, though, because they are able to capture spiritual things more than certain things. Because the faces are like, this face is talking, this face is talking, this one is talking, and you are hearing everything clear and distinct. We will not allow her to give the money. We will not allow her. We will not. Why should he be giving money to you to bless you? We will not. Why should he be? And whilst we like that. So I sent a person a message. I said, I've had a vision, let's talk. And when the person began to open up the matter, I'm like, wow. He said, this is the reason why I've not been able to bless you. This, and that one, and this one, and this is happening. And the entire family business has been shut down. And the breadwinners have become paupers. And this, and that, and I'm saying, wow. I said, let me pray with you. And the next thing was that the money was released.
Fire!
We are praying. In the next 5 minutes, though he has swallowed down riches, the Bible says he will vomit them. Though he has swallowed down riches, he will vomit them. When you read Job chapter 20, the verse 23, I like it. I think the NIV says that as he feels his tummy, the Lord in his fury will rain down his blows on him. Ah, the God of karate. God will rain down his blows on him. You don't know God can do that. In Colossians, Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. That word spoil, it is used in the sense of karate. It is Jesus who is kicking and releasing and pulling down and turning somebody's face and breaking somebody's jawbone. He spoiled and then he took that which belonged to us and gave it to us. We are lifting our voice. We are destroying every works of the enemy because Jesus, we are enforcing that word and we are commanding a recovery of that which has been stolen by the enemy. Any ministry, any purpose, any grace, any glory, any authority, any honor, any finances. Come on, we are praying the next 5 minutes. Kapa, Rebabo, Shebada, Matatabako, Rebeketekepa. I want you to pray seriously. I had an encounter this morning after I finished praying. Apako sebedebeka, ayapato sebedebeko maha. I pray in the name of Jesus. Every thief. Bible says that when the thief is found, he shall restore everything that is stolen. He shall restore. Oh man, telebe kapa shababa. Even sevenfold he shall restore. A thief is not spared when he steals to feel his hunger. Everything that the enemy has taken away from me, everything that the enemy has taken away from this ministry, everything, every grace, every honor, every authority, every book,
every book of books, books and graces and expression of anointing that has been captured from my life, every grace, every power, every honor, finances, people that the enemy has taken, I take authority in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I take authority. I command a recovery of that which he has been taken. I command a recovery of that which has been stolen. I command a recovery of that which has been taken. For the Jesus said, the Son of Man manifested that he might destroy all the works of the enemy. Every work of the enemy in depriving me, in spoiling me, in taking away from me. In the name of Jesus. Rababa sebedebe ayababo sebelebebo rebebe sebelebebe rebobo sebelebebe every prison house where these things have been kept, in the mighty name of Jesus, every prison house that the things that are taken from me, we vandalize this prison houses. We command angels to go out right now. We command angels to go out right now. Let there be a recovery of that which has been stolen. Father, everything that pertains to life and unto godliness, everything that pertains to life and unto godliness, everything that pertains to life and unto godliness, that has been removed, that has been taken, in the name of Jesus. As we pray by the fire of the Holy Ghost, let there be a recovery. As we pray by the fire of the Holy Ghost, let there be a recovery. As we pray by the fire of the Holy Ghost, let there be a recovery. The people that the enemy have stolen, even from this ministry, oh God, the finances that have been taken, even from this ministry and in my life, Father, this week, in the next 5 days, we command a manifestation of that which has been taken. In the next 5 days, we command a manifestation by the fire of the living God. We command a manifestation in the name of Jesus. That which has been taken, we recover. The Bible says, oh, matapa kaposhebe, rebebe. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself, when even he is starving. Yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up every substance of his house. We recover every substance of the house, every substance of the prison house. Now the things that are taken from me and my family, the things that are taken from me, that have been stolen from me, for the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I pray in the name of Jesus that there shall be a recovery of that which is taken. There shall be a recovery of that which is stolen. There shall be a recovery of that which has been removed. Of people, oh God, of the souls of men, Lord of the souls of men, everything taken away from your business, everything taken away from your marriage, everything taken away from your family, everything taken away from your children, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wherever you are, I want you to pray. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, as you are online, pray this thing. The thief, he comes to steal, and after he's stolen it, he will kill it. After he's killed it, he will will destroy it. It's serving no purpose for the enemy. It's only serving his purpose of destruction. When the enemy destroys, he's happy. I pray right now, the partners that the enemy has stolen, the people that the enemy has stolen.
Listen to me.
I just remembered I had a vision a long time ago. I was ministering, and there were a lot of people. And I picked a young lady. As I stood by her to minister to somebody, she got up. And when she got up by me, she started pulling 50 euros, 50 euros, 50 euros, 50 euros, 50, like bundles. She started pulling, and then she handed the bundle into my hands. As she handed the bundle into my hand, another man of God walked and came and want to take the lady away. Listen to me. The enemy is real. He steals. He takes away from us. We are praying a recovery of business, a recovery of ideas, a recovery of opportunities, a recovery of ministries, a recovery of ideas, a recovery of innovations, finances, even partners. I believe that lady is just symbolic of a partner. And she told me in this vision that she is traveling. She's going to travel all over the place, all over the world. And when she comes, she will bring me more money. She will bring me more money. I just remembered as we are praying. It is only the Holy Spirit that can remind you in this manner. We are praying, lift up prayer by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let there be a recovery of people, human beings, of the souls of men, for the ministry of the souls of men, for your life, for of partners, of financiers, of finances, every opportunity. In the next 5 days, we are praying. In the next 5 days, we are seeking a manifestation. In the next 5 days, there have to be a manifestation. In the next 5 days, there has to be a manifestation. In the next 5 days, Kaba Hayabo, Rababa Shabanana, Ayapa Kapalababa Sapa, Ayabandaraba Shibele Kapa, Ayapa Tadaba Shapa, Ayabadalaba Kopa Sapalaba, Ayababa Rabata, Ayabam Tadaba Komba Sampata, Ayabatandala Kapa, Ayabandaraba Shibaraba, Yabatova Separababa, Antanala Kapa, Ayaba Sebala Kapa, Ayababa Dedeba. Matata kapo, arabata parakapa, alababa sepedele bako, ayapanta na laba kapa, arababa sepanta na laba, ayapa kaparapapa, hey, bakapa, ayapa. Sometimes the man you are supposed to marry has been taken. Sometimes the woman you are supposed to marry, she has been taken. That business partner, taken. Come on, recover now, recover, 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 recover. Recover, recover, recover. The Bible says for this cause, Jesus Christ was made manifest that he might destroy all the works of the enemy. He was made manifest that he might destroy all the works of the enemy. Let every work of the enemy be torn into pieces, be destroyed, and let the Lord who spoiled principalities and powers, let the Lord who spoiled principalities and powers, let the Lord who spoiled principalities and powers, let him recover for you and I in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory. Your name be lifted. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please just have your seat. Let's get into the word of God. So God is redefining us. So it's with great joy we welcome ourselves and we welcome our friends online into this house, into this ministry. Elevation Embassy. And this is a wealthy place. I like it when he said we are wealthy. We are rich. We are not poor. Come on. This is a wealthy place. It's a place of open heavens. And we are the habitation of God in the spirit, where lives are being changed. And when individual lives are changed, families are changed. And when families are changed, nations are transformed. Where spiritual pathways are being defined, life is being lived unto honor the Lord. As a people, we are God's oaks of righteousness in the earth.
and we are the testimony of Jesus Christ established.
Amen.
We are his house of elevation.
Hallelujah.
This is Elevation Embassy. So we are going through all kinds of processes. By the end of this month, the name is completely changed, the background changed, and we believe in God for some 55 inches TV. And all of that. The children need to have their TV and then you go and bring Nathaniel and you bring all of them, gather them, because God will raise great prophets, great apostles. Some of them will be business apostles, some of them will be evangelists, some of them will be great entrepreneurs, some of them will be great husbands, engineers and lawyers. We prophesy it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. We declare that destinies and ministry shall come forth and none shall be lost in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wow, let's get into the word of God. Let's get into the word of God. This is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. And last week, we took some time off to do a recap of the definition of what ministry is, briefly. And we said that ministry is who you are. Ministry is not the job you attend. You can be fired from your job, but you cannot be fired from you. You can be sacked from the place you work, but you cannot be sacked from you. You and inside yourself, you are the best company.
Amen.
You are the best company that anybody can have. You know the word humility? The word is humble, comes from the word humility. When you trace the word back, it comes from the word humus. Humus means dust. And he says, this person is humble. This person is just being who he or she is.
Okay.
If they say this person is an engineer, that person is just being who or she. I mean, Jesus Christ does not get surprised when he heals the sick. He is the healer. He is the savior. So he is not surprised as he comes to save people. So when for example, when Babs, you fix somebody's hair, they are doing wow. You are not wowing, because it is who you are. People wonder how you came by all of that. So ministry is not something you carry. You know, I don't know how some of the pastors think about ministry. They think ministry is something you do Sunday morning. So when you have the microphone, ministry has started. But ministry is when you lie down, it's with you. That call is with you. And I said, I'm going to go into that. Maybe next week I'll start getting into the call. I'll start getting into the purpose. I'll start talking about we discipline ourselves and living according to the vision of God that he has given to us. Apostle Paul said that, King Agrippa, for I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision that was first declared. So there is a heavenly vision, or let me put this, governed by heavenly vision, defined by heaven. You are not sitting here and passing through life ordinary and simple and confused and failed and not sure what your life is about. There's a real design for all of us. And your ministry, your call is who you are. In whatever field you find yourself. And we said that through that calling, you serve people. We said that last week. You serve people. And in some places, as you serve people, it begins to bring you such a blessing. Like Martin goes to serve people and build houses for them, and they pay him for that. Who can fire Martin from who he is? Nobody can fire him from himself. So it is important. You see, the devil is a wicked devil. And somebody said the devil is a bastard. Because the devil, what he would do to you and I is that we should miss our purpose. We should be late behind our purpose. We should run ahead of our purpose. Or we should do another's purpose. He is okay if we can all be fulfilling something we call our purpose, our calling, and our giftings, and trying to be. Have you seen bears trying to swim?
They just go, they say, let's go down and go and swim and we'll come back. If they try for a long time, they'll die. There are only unique birds that swim.
Yes.
Have you seen, when you look in even the cat family, between the tiger and the cheetah, one of them climbs the tree very well, but one of them does not. But and it is only in the human arena, in the human world, that is where we are trying to be what we are not. People are trying to be somebody who they are not. So when they wear a dress like maybe Tommy Hilfiger, they say, yeah, I feel good. Instead of sewing one dress for yourself that looks like Mac, you would rather feel good when you wear that person's dress. So we have the issues of identity messed up. So we have been talking about how God is taking us through processes and reshaping our mind and reshaping our understanding. You see, if your identity is warped, it's not correct. Any man you marry, any woman you marry, you will present that identity to the person. And if you are a leader in church, you will lead people in a messed up identity. If you are a governmental leader, the Bible talks about a leader who suffocates and who punishes his subjects. And there's one who knows when to feed his subject. In the book of Luke, Jesus was describing it. Who knows when to feed the people? And there is one who just, for him, he just want to underscore his bottom line and feel good that I have plenty people around me. And imagine you are a governmental leader, you don't even know who you are. How do you lead people? When the blind follows the blind, they end up in a ditch. Jesus said that. They end up in a ditch. So it becomes important that we discover our calling. And it is one of the most attacked areas of our lives. And discovering your calling and fulfilling it is not going to come that easy. So let's get into today's conversation. Starting from last week, we were talking about, as we go through the processes, I don't know what word I can use for process again. Life's tests. What did he say?
Training.
As we go through life's tests, life's training. Let me call it the school of Jesus, the school of the Holy Spirit. As we go through all of these processes, we begin to move to something we call wholeness. 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 So the test of life, where, for example, you'll be abandoned. Have you been abandoned before? And the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. Go back and check that scripture. And Jacob was left alone. Genesis 31. And Jacob was left alone. There comes a time where everybody abandons you. And if you're not careful, you become so hurt that I have blessed these people. I have supported this one. The way I used my shoulder and carried him and put him at the top there, he has forgotten about me. I have a message that somebody has forgotten about me. I have a teaching that somebody has forgotten about me. Have you been forgotten by somebody? It is part of the process. Sometimes you go broke. Bernard, you have to be monitoring this thing. You have to be monitoring. Albert, come back. Show him what to do. You have to be monitoring this thing. Sometimes you go broke. And sometimes you are losing opportunities, and they are not designed. These processes, they are not designed to produce a great man of God. Let me repeat this thing. Very often, we think God is fascinated about producing great man of God in the earth, great woman of God in the earth. No. God is moving towards producing a person, a human being who carries his fullness, whether he's a preacher, whether he's a businessman, whether he's a businesswoman, whether he's a husband, whether he's a wife. It is we who are fascinated about great men of God. Yeah, we are the ones who are fascinated. We're, hey, Charlie, celebrity. So you will see the next generation of young men coming up. Everybody wants to be a celebrity preacher. They want to titles and no preparation, half-baked, not pure. And we learn wrongly. But God wants to produce inside a man the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, when you read the verse 13, in fact, the verse 12, it says that till we all come to the fullness. Let's read it. Let's go back to this thing. Let's remind ourselves, because the line of deception is very gray. It's thin. If you're not careful, you think, okay, God just wants me to be great, so I'm preparing to be great. And you will miss the essential things that makes up for real greatness. As God is not chasing after making a man great, even though there may be words in scripture that says, and I will make you great before the people, the object is not greatness. The object is a design and a reflection of God inside a man. I've said this before, either 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, that when you look at Malachi chapter 3, when it says that he shall be the purifier of silver and the refiner of gold, when God comes, he shall be like the purifier of silver and the refiner of gold. In those days, the goldsmith will only say the gold is ready when he lifts the bar of gold and looks at it and can see a reflection of himself inside the gold. God is seeking to see a reflection of himself in you when we would have been through process. When we arrive, people look at us and said, you have changed. People will look at her and say, is that you? Is that you who is being in rags and tatters and confused? Are you that beaten one and defeated one that we know? Are you not the same person that I've been laughed at? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Ashaiman? Me, I grew up in Ashaiman. Can anything good come out of your family? And they went down, it was in the tribe of Benjamin. And in fact, they went down and it was in Bethlehem of Judea, some small place. And upon giving birth to him, this man was inside a manger, spending time with animals, equated to the level of animals and nothing more. But sitting there was actually the rejoicing of angels coming down from heaven, and the shepherds begin to observe the sign of a star that is born out of heaven, and the magis from the east, wise men seeking Jesus, come looking for him and announcing to Herod, a king has been born. But he said, go look for him, find him, so that I can also come and worship him, only for this king to be found in inside a manger. It doesn't matter where you are. Process will bring you into that place where God is now revealed. And men will see that is a great man, that is a great woman, that is. But to you, you know that God is not seeking after you being great. He is actually seeking that he will sit in you and express himself, so that your hands can be an extension of his hand, so that your foot can be wherever you go, God arrives there. When you speak, the voice of God begins to sound in the earth. When you speak, there is some grace and power inside you. One day I had this woman who came from US. I'm looking for her. Father, I pray that I keep getting the sense that she is no longer in this world. I keep getting this prophetic sense that she's no longer. But Father, I pray that you keep her. Father, I pray. Such a lovely woman. She came from the US and she wanted to see me. And she gave the phone to a taxi driver to locate where I was. And I was working in Jolo. I was doing some work in Jolo. So I was directing the taxi driver. When they arrived and the taxi driver saw me, said, wow. I said, what is the problem? He said, you are just a young man, but your voice carries authority and power. I said, yes, that is me now.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, I'm not surprised, but to him, he sees a seed of greatness. I pray in the name of Jesus. Job said, when he has finished with me, I will come forth as gold. He says that, for he knows the way I take. He says, I go to the east, it's not there. I go to the south, it's not there. I go to the west, it's not there. By him, God knows the way that I take. And when he has finished with me, you will come forth as gold.
cut the process short.
Amen.
It can be painful when you are being abandoned by people. When people who are supposed to help you abandon you, it can be painful. When somebody can give you a promise, today I will do this, and then the promise is not coming through, and you are waiting, and everything is crashing on you, and shame seems to be covering your face. Bible says, and they look up unto him, and their faces were radiant, and they were not put to shame. The Lord your God will not put you to shame.
Amen.
I declare this week shall not pass. Friday shall not pass. I declare this week, help is coming for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Stay in the place of process, because the Lord will help you. I pray for you. The Lord give you grace. The Lord give you strength. The Lord give you understanding. The Lord give you eyes to see beyond your process and your pain. See it. How can, listen, I have some teachings here. How can a man knows that he has to go to the cross and die, and he knows the type of death, but he still went through it? Why? The Bible says, for the joy. Don't lose focus. For the joy that was set before him. So the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. That phrase there is the word gazing, to gaze on Jesus. And that phrase is used in the context of how astrologers gaze, star gazers, gaze a star. What they do, and prophets do gazing, what they do is that they lie on their back and they push every distraction to the side, and they look among the stars and begin to read among the stars. What they have done is that they have put every distraction behind them, and nothing will come in their sight. Look unto Jesus. Push aside every distraction. Every distraction is satanic.
Amen.
Yeah, every distraction is satanic. One day I had a vision. In this vision, a friend of mine, Apostle Michael Inho, was talking to me, and he was telling me some things that I should come and minister in his church, and that and that. When I come, he wants me to do this and that and that and that. This God talking, you know. So, out of this vision, a couple of days, I reached out to Apostle Michael, and I said, Apostle, I've had some vision, you know, and you were involved. And the vision was A, B, C, D, that. Now, in the vision, as Michael was talking to me, a woman came to distract me. A woman came to distract me. Satan came to distract me. An evil spirit came to distract me. So what Michael was telling me, and he was also teaching me some things, what he was telling me couldn't continue. So when I woke up, I was furious. I was not happy. When I got out of it, I was not happy. Every distraction is satanic. Anything that is seeking to take you from your focus, your path, is satanic. I started talking to Michael, and he says, oh, okay, Mark, I was planning to invite you to come and speak. So as we are talking, plan, can you come this date and come and speak? I said, wow. So in the vision, he was telling me I should come and minister. And then he began to tell me how very often he had encounters where powerful things are about to happen, and then a woman would distract. And then he went ahead to tell me how there was a principality he saw in a vision in the territory where he is. So he was traveling to one of the lands in Volta region, and there was this woman that was standing in the middle of the road. And as he was approaching, everybody who gets to the woman will catch you and pack you. And pack you. There's some small prison to the left and the right. But as he was approaching, the woman began to lift off the ground. I pray in the name of Jesus, every distraction be ended. Anything that is distracting you be ended. Anything that is standing in the way be ended. In the name of Jesus. He said the woman went up and he passed. And when he looked behind him, the woman came down to deal with the remaining people. So him and his team had a safe passage. I declare over you that you shall have authority in the realm of the spirit. Like Nehemiah obtained letters and went out and went through the regions and the governors so that he will come to Jerusalem and build for the Lord. And so you shall go through every barricade. For by you I run against the troop. For by you I leap over every wall. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
We will not fail. We are not in this to fail because the person who brought us in has not failed.
So process is important. God is seeking to produce himself in us.
I was going to read Ephesians. Let me just read it. I don't want to stay too long on. That's just one point, and it's turning me around. It's turning me around and it's throwing me up and all of that. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read from the verse 11. Let's to get a better understanding. The verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Why? That we should no longer be children tossed through and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceit. This, when I read this scripture, it blows me away. Look, the thing that is taking you is not ordinary. The thing that wants to distract you and take you away from your purpose, your calling, and from God, that thing is built inside cunningness, craftiness, and deceit. It is evil. Every distraction is evil.
Okay.
It's demonic. So purpose, life's abandonment, life's test, life's processes, they are not designed to produce us great men of God. They are designed so that we will be a reflection of Christ.
Amen.
They are not designed to destroy you. They are not designed to destroy you. They are not designed to destroy your vision. They are not designed to destroy your business and your life. You know, some people think they have served God so much and God is not doing for them. No. Sometimes there's something you and I, we are not getting, so we have to go back to the wheel again. We have to go back to the wheel and learn. There's something we are not just getting. When you fail an exams, you know, the ACCA paper, 50, you pass. When you hit 50, you pass. Now imagine you get 49. It means that there's something. And there was this paper, I think I wrote twice and I got 48. First one was 49, the second one was 48. It means that there's something I'm not doing well. So I had to go back and do it well. When I did it well, I was in, is it 67 or something? I did the thing well. So there's something you may not be getting right. And God is working on you. God is doing a work with you so that you can succeed. He's not designed tests to destroy your gift, your calling, your talent. But he has designed them to prove the calling and the vision that he has given you, because he is faithful. You know the song we sang this morning? He is faithful to the promise. But the test that you go through will only show truly if God is there or God is not there. And if you're able to stand to the end, you see the Lord prove himself.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, which I read last week, chapter 3, when you read the verse 12, it says that for all of you who have determined to live for the Lord, you will go through affliction and toil and suffering and challenges. Testing is part of it. Testing is part of it. So we walk through this and we understood that God is making us whole. Now, one of the areas that I believe God is making us whole in is the area of our motivation. We call it motivational health. What motivates you in life? What motivates you? If, let me begin to outline some few areas. If you are a preacher, what is the motivation? If you say, I'm going to be an engineer, what's the motivation? I heard one prophet said, he said, me, I'm coming to Accra. When I come to Accra, we'll come and teach people in Accra how to prophesy. Till today, the prophecy is not coming out. You know, in the kingdom, you don't misbehave. You don't beat your chest in the kingdom. The way up in the kingdom is the way down. In the kingdom is a pathway of humus, humility. Be down, be earth-based. Not earth-based at earthly and given to matters of the earth, but come down. People become too high. If you are entering to a particular trade, somebody says, I'm entering to this trade. I'm going to marry this woman so that I will teach her a lesson. Why? I'm going to do this business and I will teach my family people a lesson. Why? What is the motivation for what you do? Apply the question broadly. As you answer that question, it will bring you back to God. In fact, it will bring you to purpose. And when you come to purpose, you'll find God. When you arrive, immediately you arrive in purpose, you'll find God. So our motivational help begin to change. And we are transformed to becoming teachable and open against stubbornness. You know, there are people who are not teachable. They are not ready to be taught. You can't teach them anything. They know everything in the world. I was in a church in a certain country. And what made me to stop attending the church was this. One day the pastor declared, he said that all that God wants to tell you is what he has told your pastor. I said, No. The thing is, I said, no. What kind of language is that? And I heard some of the folks in the church say, our pastor knows everything. And I heard some of the folks in the church said, our church is the kingdom. Yeah. Hey, then where are some of the other churches? Okay. Pride. When we go through process, you become humble. You become teachable. Even if you know and they are talking, you are quiet. Even, look, your leader will tell you, go and sit down here. And you ask, but your leader, is he thinking? Where he's asking me to sit, does he not see the trouble that is there? But you see, he has spoken from the place of authority. Go and sit there. Immediately you sit there, you will see a glory that hits the place. And everything in the environment begins to align. But because of lack of faith and lack of teachability, people are not able to follow. Look, I went to visit a certain church in Tema or Accra or I don't know, one of the places. And I had my iPad and I was making some notes. I was getting powerful inspiration. Is that not from God? I was making notes. I was writing. I was writing something, some powerful subject. Up to now, the revelation has not come back. What happened? The usher came to me and he stood by me. And he said, please. He didn't even annoy me. He didn't even fight me. He just said, please. When prophet sees what you are doing as what is going on, you are not, it's like you're not part of the service. Your focus is on your iPad. But what I was doing the work of God too. I became angry in my heart. I'm telling you something. I became angry in my heart. Immediately I became angry. I closed the iPad. Since then, I can't remember the thing I was writing. Since then, I learned a bitter lesson. I could have just simply said, I'm sorry. Please, I'm just trying to write one. So I'll write it fast. Process allows you to enjoy teachability. It allows you. When we go through process, we come to a position where we begin to resist pride and self-importance. There are some people, when they enter into a place, they are important more than everybody. Yeah, they are important more than everybody. I keep cracking this joke. I said, me, I don't like my face being on flyers. So as my face that you see on the flyers, it's been a lot of fight with the graphic designers before my face is on the flyers. I said, put all the people's face there so that when the devil is slapping, he can slap all of us. But look, I went somewhere, I called a man of God. I said, Mister, the man of God got angry. He said, you have rejected the call of God upon my life. I will stand in church on Sunday and I will mention your name and say that you call me Mister instead of Reverend. Oh, oh. If they call you by a certain name, I heard he stood up one day. He said he was walking in Makola or something, or some market in Accra, and the boy saw him. He said, Papa Dogo. They didn't know he stood up. Papa Dogo. He said, yeah. But that is Sudanaba walking in the market. Hey, Papa Dogo. He said, yeah. I should call you Papa Dogo. You see something? Okay. Hell, brimstone, and fire will come down from heaven. Process allow those things to come out of our lives. Process allows us motivational health. Babylonian lifestyles, we are banished Babylonian lifestyle. You know Babylonian lifestyle? If you are a preacher, for example, you want a certain status. You want to join a certain cloud. You want to be, and a lot of our young men today, that is what they are doing. Yeah. They want to associate with certain men of God, so that they can also feel relevant and come to the light, lamplight quickly. But if you know the lifestyle of John the Baptist, the revelation of the prophet, he was a man inside the wilderness, and all of the land ran to him. Even if you're in the midst of the ocean, I'm telling you today, Barbara, if wherever your shop, even they should put it inside a small container and lock with padlock, people will come with hammer and clubs and say, we are breaking this padlock. We want access to the woman who is behind this thing. If you are in the middle of the ocean, people will make road to you because you have refused a Babylonian lifestyle. You have chosen to be with God.
Yeah.
When Babylon touches you, it robs you.
Right.
I don't have time to go into that. When Babylon touches you, it will rob you. One day there was a prophet. I think his name was Zedekiah. Zedekiah one day received the king of Babylon, and they came in their entourage. And when he came, he said, come and see. He took them to the temple. He showed them all the vessels in the house of God. You know the story in the Bible? He showed them all the vessels in the house of God. Please, it's not everybody you open your door to and show them the vessels in your house. They will rob you. Because your friend is wearing Gucci, you too have bought Gucci. Because your friend is wearing Sean Paul, I don't know if there's anyone called Sean Paul, the dress called Sean Paul you are wearing. Because your friend is wearing what? I remember there's this friend of mine. When I bought BlackBerry and he had it, he also went to buy BlackBerry. And then we both of us agreed. We're in the same church. We agreed to buy something to give to church. And we agreed that we'll buy two things, a water dispenser and a PowerPoint projector. The Flickr, it's called Flickr. You know what, when you are making a PowerPoint presentation, the pointer and the light, and then you can move away from your laptop and flip the pages of your presentation. We agreed that if I buy the PowerPoint projector, he will buy the water dispenser. If I buy water dispenser, then he will buy. So here I am. I bought the PowerPoint Flickr for our church. And I told him that I have bought this one. So go ahead and buy this other one. My friend went ahead and bought the Flickr and bought the water dispenser. And me, I didn't know. So I got to service early in the morning. My pastor was there. I was happy. I went to him. I said, Pastor, there's a gift from my wife and I to you and the church. And when I gave him the thing, he opened. He said, oh, so beautiful. He said, thank you very much. This is very simple. You see, your friend, he bought one for us, and the thing is very complex. That is when I entered into revelation, to know that my friend has bought water dispenser plus Babylonian lifestyle. When I will play the keyboard and they will know that Jimmy does not know, there's only Jimmy in this house. Jimmy does not know how to play the keyboard. I will mafia Jimmy today. When I play, all the glory shall come to me. What a motivation. What a motivation. Today, when I come to the meeting, the way I will prophesy, what a motivation.
Wow.
Ah, today, the way I'll lead the worship, I'll make everybody small. What a motivation. It is the reason why musicians, you are going nowhere. Because you have seen somebody doing Facebook, so you too have gone to do Facebook. You want to get to somewhere quickly, other than the way, the path you are supposed to go through. You think Facebook lifts people? Do you know how many years we've been posting on Facebook and be preaching on Facebook and be doing all kinds of things and posting, and the world does not know us? Facebook doesn't lift people. It is the Lord that lifts people. John the Baptist can be in the wilderness a man. What was even his food? He was not a man of the palace. Listen to me. You may not be a woman or a man of the palace. But if the Lord is lifting, he said, today I am lifting you and you shall be great before the people. He has done it. Let's throw away every Babylonian motivation, lifestyle, so that the Lord can use us. For example, when we go through process, the Lord deals with, I think today I'll just deal with motivational health. I'll just deal with motivational health. I'll not try to mingle so many things, if not the time. And we have one or two things to talk about. When you go through process, the Gehazi spirit leaves you. Yeah, it just leaves you. You know the Gehazi spirit? My boss does not know the value. One guy says, for the food to spoil, my stomach should burst. You will die. For the food to spoil, he said, my stomach should burst. My stomach should burst. And you see him, he's walking like this. Why is that? For the food to spoil, he said, my stomach should burst. I don't know where he is. You can destroy your calling with that statement. Or die, be die. You destroy your calling. So I don't care about anything. You will die. You will destroy. Gehazi is simple. In the book of 2 Kings, is it chapter 5? Yeah, chapter 5. Naaman, you know the story. Naaman would come to the king of Israel and says that he's sick and that he should heal him. And the king of Israel got angry and somebody told Elisha. He said, the Naaman, the captain of the guards, have come. And this was a request. And he said, come on, bring him to me and let me heal him. You know, the thing is in a man's pocket. That is how the grace works. He said, come, let me heal. And they came and says, my friend, go to Jordan and go and dip. Go and bath yourself in the Jordan. I went to bath in the Jordan. I went to the Dead Sea, bath. I went to the Jordan and bath. Today I was thinking to contact somebody again in Israel to see if they have opened the airport. And start thinking about going to bath again. Once opportunity of you go and bath again. And he said, no. There are better rivers, there are Bafanes and whatnot. And the little girl says, what would this do to you? Upon all of that, he will now return and with great gifts and apparel of gold and all of that. And Elisha says, it's okay, don't take it away. And Gehazi will chase after the man and tell him that, my master said. The pretext to that was that Gehazi says, my master doesn't know. I know a prophet who went to pray. Please listen to me carefully. It's not every gift you take.
Thank you.
Yeah. Some every prisons also have doors. So. He said this one is breakthrough. The door has opened. It can be a door that is going to a prison. Yeah. Either you are going to a castle or a prison. Prisons have doors too. He went to pray for this minister. And the minister got healed. I was with him when he told the story. He told it. And he went with his sons. And the senior boy says, Papa, our father is not serious. The man says, after you pray for me, I'm healed. Choose one of the cars and take it. My papa says, he doesn't want. Do you know what your father is rejecting? I was telling a story last week and I think I didn't finish. This man of God was invited to preach somewhere, and when he went, and the host was telling a story about another man of God. And then he asked him, after he finished telling the story about the other man of God, he said, "Do you know him?" And he said, "I don't know him." His associate was standing by him, and he said there was a force that was pushing him. The force was pushing him to say, "We know him." But some small self-control, just some small self-control, when he held himself, his senior pastor said, "I don't know him." What a big, that Nigerian comedian, Ghanaian comedian would say, a bombshell. What a bombshell it would have been for him to say, "We know him," and he said, "We don't know him." Hey, you have dishonored your leader. And he said, later when they came back, he asked, he said, "Ah, daddy, why? This man came to preach some month ago, and you are saying you don't." He said, "Now let me explain to you. When he came, this is what he came to do. He did that and did that and did that and did that. Like the sons of Eli. Did this and this, and how should I be giving him attestation so that he goes to destroy another man's church?" It's not every door that opens you enter. Some of the doors, you have to look at the door carefully, look at the door carefully, look at the door carefully, discern and perceive, and find out whether if there was an angel at the door. If you have eyes to see in the spirit, when gates are being opened in the realm of the spirit, there is always an angel. Even glory, the realm of glory, there is an angel by the gates. Picture in the Bible, we see in Genesis 3 that the angels came and they put a cross sword to the access to the Garden of Eden. There is always angels to open the door to you to enter into the realm of glory and advancement. And so the guy will be in church. So as for pastor, he doesn't know the usefulness of the girls. And will be, "You continue, 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 continue. You don't understand what you are doing. Just continue." And I've heard that some of the pastors too, they have associates who have been buying them weed. Yeah. They prepare weed tea for them in the morning. They'll drink. When you see them, the way they are jumping and they are shouting, as if some akpala voodoo has come upon them, they have drunk wheat tea and they are okay. Wow. They will work you out the next 5 hours. You will think you don't have capacity. He is good on wheat tea.
Thank you.
And I hear some of the pastors, they will ask the associate when they finish ministry, they will ask, say, "Take the phone number of that lady for me. Take that one," and they will now come and do a spinning for the pastor. You continue. It's Gehazi spirit that is worrying you. So you see, when you go through process, these things are removed. Gehazi went to collect the thing that his leader rejected. And Elisha said, "That is Naaman's leprosy on you." Sometimes some doors, they are just doorways of curses. So our motivational health has to be correct. If your motivational health is not correct, you'll be caught up. Do you think that this guy in the Bible, Judas, I call it the Judas revival. Judas revival is all over the place. Do you think Judas's motivation was to just betray Jesus or the money? It's money. I'll come to that. Let me just leave that. I'll come to that shortly and then close. If our motivational health is dealt with through process, what happens to us is that we escape the error of Balaam. We escape the error of Balaam. This past week, I was listening to audio Bible, and the story of Balaam came up in Numbers 22:23. And I kept listening carefully, and something surprised me. How can people came to you and you were said, "Wait, I'm going to pray to God." Please listen to me carefully. When you make up your mind completely.
That's right.
When God speaks, follow his voice. Be like a flint. When you are chasing your purpose, be focused. Anything that tries to distract you, push the thing away. Fight it. Protect the presence of God in your life with all diligence.
Right.
They came to him and said, ABCD, the king wants you, da da da. And I said, "Wait, I'll pray about it." He prayed. And God said, "Don't go with them." The people went and came back with more gifts.
Read your Bible carefully. They came up with more opportunities. In fact, they came up with political appointments. They said, preacher, the way you are very powerful and intelligent, we think that if you become a parliamentarian of this, because of the opportunities that are there. The Bible says that we shall reign with the Lord and be kings of the earth. Judge your call carefully. If yes, the Bible says we are the judges and the priests of the earth. But did he call you into politics? Somebody is selling ice water, so you also go and sell ice water. Do you know the devil he is fighting to sell the ice water he's selling? Do you know the powers in that territory? You don't know. See, there was a woman. She had money. Not she has. She has money. I was there. She called my wife and said, somebody connected her. I've taken goods to this particular country. I'm not getting anybody to buy. It's not about the fact that you have money. That's not mean you should go on TV. The fact that you have money does not mean you should go and rent a shop in East Legon. You should go and rent a house in this. It will kill you. The fact that you have money does not mean you should go and buy a Range Rover, young man. Preacher, your ministry is struggling, but you got money to buy a Range Rover and you are driving. And your ministry is struggling.
My driver will say, sell the car to buy the thing that is worrying the car.
Nobody is buying and this and that and that and that. One year beyond, after my wife helped her to sort a few things out, she never did a trade again. Because the power, look, I remember one day I saw a vision. There was somebody who wanted to hit my wife. And I stood and I did this to block the person. The arrows that are being shot in what the person is doing. Everybody is doing ministry. So you two have gotten up, you're going to do ministry. Stay within your call. Balaam said to the people when they came the second time, you know, we didn't notice it in, when you read Numbers, you will not notice it. When you read Numbers and they say Balaam is a false, when you read the New Testament and say Balaam is a false prophet, you'll be arguing. Because when you go and read in Numbers, you don't see anything wrong. The guy just went to God and asked God. The guy came to propose to you. The lady you are dating, God said, this lady, you heard him clear in your korokoro ears. The course you are doing in school, you heard God clearly. But because some prophet came and said that you have to be in ministry, you have abandoned the course to go and do ministry. I'll tell you some piece of story shortly. Stay within that thing. You don't need to go back to God and say, God, I want to check with you. Did you really say that I should be an engineer or a lawyer? Because lawyers are looking very good and they are making a lot of money. God, I think I'm a lawyer, you know. God, have we agreed on this matter? Yeah. Then you go and be a lawyer. Oh, I'm a medical doctor. Meanwhile, you're a nurse. You're a doctor. Meanwhile, because you want life of you want to be a nurse. You are an engineer, but because you don't want, you have decided to do something else. And life becomes difficult. So Gehazi went back to God and said, God, they have come. What? God says, okay, go with them. He didn't have any prophetic discernment. Down the road, an angel pulled a sword and wanted to kill him. And the beast that he was on, is it a mule or a donkey? The donkey that he was on, the donkey decided to rather run and go and he beat this donkey 3 times. The last one, the angel met them again, wanted to kill him. Not even the donkey, wanted to kill the man of God. The woman of God. And when I use man of God here, don't think about preacher, prophet only. Think also about that engineer, man of God engineer, woman of God lawyer. Think about that contest. What God have called you to do. Think about that relationship. When he beat this animal,
In fact, the animal crushed him and his foot hit, and the man became painful. And he hit the animal, and the animal began to, God opened the mouth of the animal, and the animal began to talk to the man. If we do not follow God, and we end up in the era of Balaam, if the mercies of God finds that an animal will talk to us, stones will speak. Walls will begin to shout. The beam in the wall will talk. The stones in the wall will begin to cry out. You are going wrong. You are going wrong. And you are seeing it. Everything is against where you are headed. But you said, Minti Chai, I will go. For the food to spoil my stomach should burst. You said, I will go. Your father and mother says, don't marry him. He said, me, I will marry him. He said, sit down. He said, I'm already standing. He said, stand. He said, I will sit. He said, get out of here. He says, I'm out of here, but I'm still sitting there. What a rebellion generation. We have to be very careful. Process is needed to shape us so that we can become presentable to the world and so that we can reflect Christ. They may not accept us in our presentation because they may not love Christ. Everywhere you mention Christ, they are angry. But it's the most beautiful thing that can happen to humanity. And the long story between the animal and Balaam, I've served you all these 3 years or so. There's a mystery in that. He beat the animal 3 times. He served the animal, I've served him 3 years. And the animal began to talk. The animal began to talk to him. And there was the angel. I want to kill you. You see, the other day I said in open heavens, I said, you can go powerfully in your anointing and go and die. Very, very anointed, but you die. That's how anointed people die. They die like fools. But it shouldn't be so. May the Lord cause you never to die like a fool. Amen. May you never be an anointed man, anointed woman, and die like a fool.
Amen.
No, 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 no.
Amen.
And when you read 2 Peter chapter 2, he began to talk about the error of Balaam. And he said, Balaam's grace was about the things that they brought. That is why he went back to God to ask God, should I go with them? God said, you see, God has declared his word. Bible says that once have the Lord spoken, twice did we hear. Power belongs to God. God has spoken, don't go with them. Don't go with them means don't go. Don't marry him means don't marry him. Don't marry her means don't marry. Don't go to that place. Don't do that business. Don't sit in this place. Fast, wait on me. Pray, do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. Go into that trade. Do this, travel, go and study this course. That voice is as powerful today, 100 years ago, when it was first spoken. That voice, that statement. God does not need to repeat it for it to be powerful. It is not our echoing of it for it to be powerful. As God has spoken it, it carries in it power already. But Balaam didn't see the wisdom in God's speech. So he chased after it. And that was how. But if you look into Bible, okay, I don't want to go into this area. If you look into Bible, Balaam was one of the prophets who prophesied more about Jesus Christ than any other prophet.
Wow.
Go and check. But at the end of the day, he failed. We shall not fail.
Amen.
Because we will not fail our seasons of test.
Amen.
I don't know where you are right now in the process of God in your life. I don't know where you are right now, whether by personal fault, personal mistake, whether it's by demonic attack. I want you to begin to look at your circumstances through the lenses of divine sovereignty. God is sovereign. He is everything. God is God. He doesn't need permission from anybody to do what he wants to do with you and I.
Right.
He chooses what he wants to do at whatever time with whomever and how he wants to do it. And I want you to see your situation, your challenges, the battles through the lenses of divine sovereignty. That everything submits to him.
Amen.
And that whatever you may be going through, God is actually preparing you and shaping you even beyond motivational health.
Right.
so that you can be a pure seed in the earth, a man and a woman of honor. Now it may appear as though you are crying, but tomorrow, the Bible said, they that go bearing their seed crying shall return with the sheaves. Let's conclude this way. Judas' revival. They betray. Not because they want to betray you. The motivation is the money. These are men who love money more than Christ. These are men who love money more than loyalty to the cause of Christ. They will sell you off in the cause of Christ when they see money presented. I used to have a friend, and somebody made a strange comment about a friend. We used to sing together. We used to lead worship together. Beautiful company. And the person said, there is a guy, wherever the money is, you go and chase it. Even if you have to sell a human being to get the money, you get it. I said, what a comment about a believer. What a comment about a believer. People have secret bank accounts. When, you see, I had Idahosa. He said, you, when God blesses you, don't go and sit in the Senate House and allow the church that prayed with you and supported you and you grew up in and helped you to continue to struggle. So people enter into glory, they forget. It's a Gehazi spirit. When God gives you a breakthrough after the man of God prayed for you, you just abandon the man. It's Judas revival. They love money more than people. We need leaders who love people more than money. In the political world, we need leaders. And some of you sitting here, you keep looking at your life as though you are going nowhere. In the next few years, the Lord will lift you and begin to place, put you in places. And you have to be a lover of people other than money. We need leaders who love history, who cherish history more than money. I listened to a great man of God, and he said, some of you think some of these people love you. He said, I've been with all the who in the world in a charismatic environment. And some of the conversations they have in the background about you, if you hear it, you will not. He said, ever since our purpose, that I will always be there for my members. When I travel and come back and I teach, I want to be there to meet them and to engage them. The Lord bless us. The Lord show us grace. I want you to rise up. I want you to rise up and just pray a simple prayer. I don't know where you are, but talk to God. I don't know what you are going through, but talk to God. I don't know what the fight is, but talk to God. I want you to talk to God. Talk to God about your struggle. Don't hide anything from Him. He knows you. Any battle you are fighting in your mind, talk to God. It may be painful. Talk to Him. It may appear that nothing is happening in your favor. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Matakapaha. Matapahaka. Oh, Mandabahaka. Mereketohoka. Zebeleko Shakapaha. Mantarabako Shabaha. Rababako Sabahaka. Matahakapa Debekaha. Mesepe Debekapaha Yapa. Talk to the Lord. I want you to just open your heart to Him. All of us, we are in a certain phase. We are going through some process. Talk to the Lord. There may be things that you are struggling with. Talk to the Lord. Mada bahaya ko bahasapaya. Andaraba shekete de debo ko zibiriaga. Merebe ko zibiri debo shababaraba. Lekete kete 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 kete. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. He will help you. Rabababa sebedebe shababa yababo robobobo sebedebe. Oh my God, my God, my God. You said, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He says, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call on me and I will answer you,
and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Atadadaba shabababa kabahaba rababa sebebebe shababa mantelebe kabahayo badadaba lebedebe sebelebe. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Adababo shebedeba koyababo. Rababa, Sibidinibo, Sibidinibo, Lepeteke, Baraka,